1. Bree sat back against the chain-link fence, bouncing her tennis racket lightly against the toe of her black Converse. Why do we still have physical education in school? John snatched the racket out of her hand. It's a political conspiracy to repress the youth of America through enforced humiliation. A quartet of diligent tennis players trotted past Bree and John to the last empty court and began to hit the ball back and forth over the net with enthusiastic, if not particularly accurate, strokes. They looked lame in their white skirts and sneakers, glistening in the fierce afternoon sun as they bobbed and swayed like Maria Sharapova in a Grand Slam final. "You'd think," Bree said, pulling her knees up to her chin, "that a fancy prep school like Bishop Dumaine would have some kind of virtual phys ed. This is Silicon Valley. Shouldn't we be high-tech?" A whistle blared from the other side of the court. "Derringer, bag it." Coach Sampson pointed at them with her racket. "This isn't break time." Bree scanned the occupied court. "We've got next," she shouted, accompanied by an overly enthusiastic thumbs up. Coach Sampson slowly shook her head in disgust as she turned her attention to a mixed doubles team. "First week of school, and I already hate phys ed." John tossed Bree's racket onto the court. "Can't your dad get us out of this?" Bree arched a brow. "Can't your mom? What's the point of having a state senator as my best friend's dad if we don't get any perks? What's the point of having the school secretary as my best friend's mom," Bree mocked, "if we don't get any perks?" John ran his fingers through his black hair, dyed the only color not verboten by Bishop Dumaine's strict dress code. "At least I'm not afraid to ask." "I'm not afraid," Bree snapped. "You will be." John hunched his shoulders and employed his crackly-voiced Yoda impression.
"You will be?"
Bree rolled her eyes. Most days, John's geeky insistence that there was a Star Wars quote for every occasion was relatively entertaining, but today it was about as welcome as a raging case of the herps. All she could think about was tomorrow's supposedly surprise school assembly.
"Did you hear about the special assembly tomorrow?" John said out of the blue.
Bree inhaled sharply. Was he reading her mind?
"There's an assembly tomorrow?" she asked, trying to sound indifferent.
John nodded.
"Called by Father Uberti himself. Overheard him talking to my mom about it in the office this morning."
Bree smoothed down her thick bangs and avoided John's eyes.
"Why is he calling an assembly?" "Duh."
John turned to face her.
"It's gotta be about DGM.
"DGM is going down,"
a voice boomed from behind them. Bree craned her neck and found Rex Kavanaugh, flanked by his wingmen Tyler Brodsky and Kyle Tanner, on the other side of the chain-link fence. They stood shoulder to shoulder with tree-trunk arms folded across overly broad chests. All three wore matching royal blue polo shirts, sporting the words "Maine Men," with the Bishop Dumaine crest emblazoned over their hearts. Part club, part school-sanctioned goon squad, the Maine Men had been created by Father Uberti in response to the school-wide wave of humiliating revenge pranks perpetrated by an anonymous group known only as DGM. In an amazing ironic move, old FU had recruited the school's top tier of bullies, posers, and power-hungry egomaniacs, the same people DGM targeted, and tasked them with ferreting out the students behind the group. Much to Bree's delight, the Maine Men had been a total bust. In the last year and a half, the score was DGM 6, Maine Men 0. And she hoped that score held, at least for one more day.
"Did you hear me?" Rex barked.
Bree squinted into the sunshine.
"Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?"
Next to her, John snorted.
"Huh?" Rex asked. "What do you want?" Bree said slowly, articulating each word.
"DGM is going down," Rex repeated.
Apparently, that was his only talking point. Once and for all. Right, Bree said, narrowing her eyes. Because you've done such a fantastic job of that so far.